Morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Today's scripture reading will be from Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. So Luke 14, 15 to 24. In your Bible, you can find it's page 1121. The parable of great banquet. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you order has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" This was the scripture reading. We'll pray now. Dear Lord, thank you very much for this opportunity to be today in your home, where we all together gathered and ready to listen to your word. As it just has been written in your word, God, please do not let us to be the one that did not respond to request, God. This request is something that you send us every day. And please, God, let us respond every day, every time, every moment of our life. Please bless everybody here. Bless Pastor, his word today. And we are very happy to have everybody here and that we are your children. Amen.
We all, or most of us, have received invitations at one time or another. And sometimes these invitations coincide with other invitations, interests, or activities. And so we have to decide which invitation is the most important one. In other words, we must prioritize. The problem with people today is that they don't want or they do not know how to prioritize. This applies also to churches and Christians in general. Very often I have heard people say, "I'd like to come to church, Pastor, but you know what? My daughter has skating lessons or ballet lessons, or I've been invited to this hockey game, or even my relatives are having a party." And so what they are dealing with is invitations, or one invitation, or two, or three, and they don't know how to choose. Yes, there will be a great gathering in heaven. It is going to be called the wedding supper of the Lamb. And that is found in Revelation 19, verse 9. It is actually described in the last book of the Bible, also in Revelation chapter 21. The Bible says that there will be people from every tongue and tribe and nation there, who are in Christ. And this is very important to remember, that when it comes to the believers, God does not recognize denominations, races, and background. He only knows the heart and the people. Once someone was visiting here from, I believe it was Texas, and I was talking to this person, and I said, "What church do you go to?" And he said, "This Baptist church." And he was a gentleman who had come for business here. And I said, "Well, that's interesting, because I know that many come from Texas." He says, "Yeah, but I'm surprised," he said, "that you are blacks and whites and Chinese together in this congregation." I said, "How is it there?" He said, "Well, there across the street we have another church, Baptist church, sister church, that is for black people, and we are the white congregation." And I was surprised, and he said, "Why are you surprised?" I said, "How will you do it in heaven?" There in heaven, the Bible says we are all one color. And it's not going to be white or black or yellow. It's going to be a glorified body. I don't know what color. So there will be this big, great banquet. But that banquet starts from here. God invites everyone to come to this gathering. In Matthew 22, verse 9, Jesus said, "Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." But God wants His church, the true believers, to be a preview of the great banquet. He wants His people, the church, to invite and welcome everyone, all kinds of people, and all different cultures should be invited to come. He wants us to love one another, pray for one another, accept one another, so people can see Christ through us and not only hear us talk about Him. Talk is cheap. A true believer must reflect the joy that Jesus brought in his or her heart and life. One of the marks of being a Christian is joy. Augustine said, "A Christian should be a hallelujah from head to toe." Isaiah said, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Jesus said, "I have told you this, so my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." C.S. Lewis said, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." In Jesus' story this morning, the servants went around saying, "Come, all things are ready." God's invitation is not a $100 a plate dinner that you must pay. It is an invitation to partake freely of all the good things He has prepared, not a potluck dinner. You don't have to pay for the meal or bring your lunch with you. In His story, Jesus said that everyone who was invited began to excuse himself or herself. There is a song that was written a long time ago, and I was going to ask us to sing it, but it's a little difficult or whatever, and I decided to read you the word. It starts, "A certain man had a feast on his fine estate in town. He laid a festive table and wore a wedding gown. He sent invitations to his neighbors far and wide. But when the meal was ready, each of them replied, 'I cannot come. I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I have married a wife. I've bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments. That cost me a pretty sum. Pray, hold me excused, I cannot come. The master rose up in anger, called his servants by name, said, go into town, fetch the blind and the lame, fetch the peasant and the pauper, for this I have willed. My banquet must be crowded, and my table must be filled. Then the chorus again, it says, I cannot come. I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. And goes on. And then the third verse says, when all poor and had assembled, there was still room to spare. So the master demanded, go search everywhere to the highways and the byways and force them to come, and my table must be filled before the banquet can begin. Now God has written a lesson for the rest of mankind. If we are slow in responding, He may leave us behind. He is preparing a banquet for that great and glorious day when the Lord and Master calls us, be certain not to say, I cannot come. In the Middle Eastern culture, this was a slap in the face, an insult to say, I cannot come. They knew ahead of time that the wedding and the banquet was coming, but they all had all kinds of excuses. They were actually saying to the host, I have something more important or better to do. Or just, I cannot come. Or, I don't want to come. Things have not changed much. People will be making excuses today that sound as good or as bad as those in the story, Jesus said. I'm too busy. I don't know about you. But many are busy. And those who are busy have always an excuse why they cannot go to church, why they cannot read the Bible, why they cannot do this or the other, but they have time for everything else. I have been turned off by religion. And again, when my wife and I were visiting Armenia, there was someone who asked to be baptized. He was a born-again believer for many years. As a matter of fact, he said 30 years ago he had accepted the Lord, and he is walking the walk, and yet was not baptized because he was turned off by the church. Now he realized at the end that that was a mistake, and 30 years later he decided to be baptized and join the family of believers. There are too many hypocrites there, and it is so true. There are many hypocrites in churches. Now, what does the word hypocrite mean? Hypocrite means you pretend to be someone else. And it comes from the Greek word hypokritis, which means you are using a mask to be someone else or to give the impression that you are someone else. And yet, I believe that the church is very important. The Bible says, that do not forsake the assembling together. There are too many hypocrites. I don't understand or even need religion. But in reality, these are all excuses. People just don't want to accept an invitation because they are very busy enjoying whatever they are doing. And these apply to those in churches who call themselves Christians. Now, if you choose to go somewhere that will give you a lot of pleasure, it could be a party, it could be an invitation to a hockey game, which is great, is good if you can, if you have the time. And yet, if you give up something that is very important to your soul, that is compromising. And I believe that the Bible says that there are priorities in our walk. Those who have one foot in the church and the other in the worldly activities that rob them from their time for spiritual activities and fellowship with other believers are excusing all that because of some other things that seem to be more important to them. Now, there was another group of people in the story, the servants. They obeyed the king and went out with the good news and great invitation. Their message was, come to the banquet. The message was, or the invitation was, come to the banquet. And the response in the beginning was, I cannot come. They were sent to individuals, not groups. And this is something very important. We sometimes overemphasize crusades. Sometimes we overemphasize workshops. Sometimes we overemphasize a guest speaker somewhere. And we gather people together and we attend to these meetings and we say, oh, it was a blessing, and yet we come home and that blessing disappears very quickly. But these servants went to individuals and went to this person and that person and personally invited them to the banquet. And I believe that's our job. And I remember one example one of the leaders gave me again in our mission in Armenia was this. He said, you know, the church now has fallen into a trap. I said, what is the trap? He said, we want to show that we are big churches or we're growing or we want to impress the visitors. And when we hear that someone is coming from the United States or Canada or Europe, what we do is get on the phones and we call everyone, we call other pastors and say, you know, a visitor is coming from the States. Let's not be embarrassed or to invite others, or it will be a shame if he comes and sees the church is empty. Will you come with some people? And this leader said, we go there and the church now is full until this man is gone, and then the church goes back to 15, 20 people. And I believe that's not what this message was all about. It wasn't going to call the Greeks to the banquet, or the Armenians, or the English, the black, or the white. He said, go and invite individuals by name. The invitation was to individuals, and our job is to do that. Mass outreach and big crusades are often the illusion of our age. We must still reach people one by one. The servants were first sent to those who knew about the feast. This represents the religious people who responded to the invitation, come, and those rejected the call. I've just bought a field, someone said. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, someone else said, and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I cannot come. Even though the servants' invitations were rejected, the servants were not blamed or punished by those who rejected the invitation. They were not. I mean, the people who went out to invite them, they did their job. The pastors, the teachers, the evangelists will do their job. And yet, those who rejected were guilty and not the preachers. And I'm not talking about everyone who gets up on the pulpit and gives a message qualifies to be a servant, a faithful servant. But those who bring the good news have done their job. The king did not demand the servants to be successful, but rather to be faithful and deliver the invitation. I believe one of the mistakes we're making very often in our churches, individuals, you and I, is that we underestimate the power of God in us and through us. Sometimes we will say, well, I don't have the gift of speech. I don't sing well. I am too preoccupied with other things and I won't do a good job. And the excuses go on and on. And yet we know that we are serving a master. And this master has given us instructions. It's the commission that has been forgotten these days. The commission was to go and make disciples of all nations, not some nations. And baptism has become, of course, something that has been misunderstood by many. And the invitation goes on, and the instructions go on, I should say, when Jesus said, and teach them to obey to everything I've said. And this is our job as the proclaimers of the gospel. All God wants from us, the followers of Christ, is to be faithful. Our mission as a Christian church is a lifetime responsibility. We cannot pick and choose the time or place to serve God. But how can we invite others to come if we are not willing to come? How can we invite others to read the Bible if we don't read the Bible? How can we invite others to come to church and Bible study if we won't come? One of the things I was trying to make the missionary and his wife understand a couple of days ago while on Skype was that there is a great need for Bible studies for young people and young girls. My wife and I have been praying in the past couple of weeks since we returned from this mission for leaders to help those new believers. And there were dozens of new believers, more young ladies than young men, obviously, because many of the young men have left the country and have gone to look for jobs or work in other countries. And yet these young girls, late teens, in their 20s and even some in their 30s, have believed in Jesus Christ, and now they don't know where to go. Churches are not equipped to have young people groups or Bible studies, and even if they do, they're not sure. So my prayer is, and my suggestion was, to the missionary's wife to start a young ladies group. And she said to me, I never thought of that, actually. Now that you put it on my heart, I'll try to start a women's group for these young ladies. And then still we have so much more to do to encourage young believers who accept the Lord to come and become part of this banquet. Now the banquet I'm talking about is not when we die and we all gather in that great supper, the banquet that will take place. That is something that will happen. And that will happen when we leave this earth. As a church, as believers, as individuals, we all appear before the throne of God. But this banquet starts from now. I believe every time that we gather together as a family of believers, we are fed spiritually. We enjoy the presence of God. We enjoy each other's company. We should be enjoying, I should say. And we grow spiritually. And we rejoice together. Of course, the problem I find is that we pick and choose, as we were saying this morning in our adult class. We we have custom-made religions. We customize our religion. We only go to this meeting and that meeting because that meeting has the singer singing and she sings beautifully, so I will not miss Sunday morning. But Tuesday nights or Sunday mornings adult class, oh, it's boring. The same pastor, the same message, always about Jesus and the Bible and God and heaven. I don't know what else a pastor should be talking about. And yet people complain that we had at one time a family left the church because, and she called me before she left with the family to my office. She said, can we go to the office? I went and she said, you know, we'll be changing churches. I said, oh, really? Why? Just because you always talk about Jesus. I was a little surprised. And then I said, what else should I be talking about? She said, about social needs, about social things, about all kinds of things. There are millions of things you can talk about. Well, I was tempted to say I'm sorry, but I didn't, because I'm not sorry. Talking about Jesus, that's what my call is, to talk about Jesus and God and sin and holiness and faithfulness and service. All these things are things that make us happy, actually. Believe it or not, when you are serving God, there's this extra power that comes into your life. This extra strength that is so overwhelming that you don't realize, and then you go home and you feel tired because all of a sudden you are not part of that great banquet. You're not part of that great group of people that we are praising together, and the Holy Spirit is present there. Well, that's what they missed, these people. These people were honored by God. Jesus came to the Jews, to the children of Israel, and they rejected him. And eventually we see all the nations coming together, and every time we finish our Bible study and prayer meeting, we start singing a chorus. He is Lord, He is Lord. And we then say, every knee will bow, shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So this banquet has started, should start, for those who believe in Jesus right now. But how can we invite others if we're not part of that banquet? The king sent the invitation. The servants delivered the invitation. But those who were invited were too busy to come. Their response was, I cannot come. What is yours? Have you accepted the invitation? I hope you have. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the invitation. This invitation was sent to everyone. Regardless of what men say, or what doctrines say, or what people proclaim or claim, we know that you are a loving, compassionate God. And your desire is to see many saved and come to the great banquet of believers, the family of believers. Be with each one of us this morning. Guide our steps. Protect us. Help us to be light wherever we are. Help us to reflect you in our conversations and the way we live. I ask all these things in your blessed name. Amen.